It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
The longest running off-road and action motorsports radio show on the planet is coming to you live with the biggest guest in motorsports. Here is the only man on the planet who can pack this much dirt slinging and tire slaying into 2 hours a week. Sit back, strap in, and be prepared to get your ears blown. Here is Jim Beaver and the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Welcome to the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Man, do we have a blockbuster show this week coming out swinging in 2020. We've got 24 Hours of Daytona winner, my good friend Colin Braun, on the show. And if that wasn't enough, we're going all the way to the Dakar Rally, all the way to Australia, and we've got my good friend, one of the raddest dudes you'll ever meet, and one of the greatest guys to ever sit on a motorcycle, Toby Price, on the show, multi-time winner of the Dakar Rally, likes to dabble in a little trophy truck racing. Yeah, he's on the show this week. Two guests that are AAA caliber. I got to tell you, I am pumped. I mean, pumped for this week's show. It's going to be rock solid, and this is why you tune into the Down and Dirty Radio Show. So, yes, we are coming out swinging today. We've also got a massive set of power rankings, and I got to tell you, this week was a crazy weekend for racing. I mean, we had Snowdrift Rally. We had WRC in Monte Carlo. We had X Games. We had Snowcross. We had Best in the Desert Parker 425. We had Supercross. We had the 24 Hours of Daytona. I mean, massive, massive weekend. Like, how do you pick five performances? I don't know. Chris Leone and I, we're going to do our best to try and dissect that. But I got to tell you, this show today does not disappoint. You are definitely going to be locked and loaded here for 2 hours of all things action motorsports. Because this is the type of show that I absolutely love doing. If you haven't already, go and give me a follow. It's at JimBeaver15 on social media. Reason why you want to do that? Yeah, because I like to live tweet during the shows. I like to hear what you guys are thinking and take questions and stuff like that. So get in on it. Go over there to Twitter, hit me up, or Instagram at JimBeaver15, and let me know what's on your mind as you listen to the show. All right, we are going to take a short break, and we come back diving right into things here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Ford WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, Ford WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to Ford WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my partner in crime, Miss Tiffany Stone. Yes, we're coming out swinging. We got T-Stone on in the opening segment today. Slam pack show with Toby Price, as well as my good friend Colin Braun, 24 hours of Daytona winner. But T-Stone, you and I, it's all about hammer time. That means Hammertown. That means King of the Hammers. I know we're both heading out there pretty much as we speak. We got a show we're doing with Polaris Razor on Saturday. Looks like we already got the Matlocks and Miss Sarah Price lined up for that. And I think maybe Bryce Menzies and Mitch Guthrie will swing by. So you've got a lot going. We got a lot going with Vision Wheel. I think it's just going to be a massive, massive week. And I don't know. We're just getting things started.
Pretty much. I've been driving from Michigan all the way out. I should be in Johnson Valley later on this evening. Just really excited to be there. This is my third year out, but my second year bringing Lucifer, the Jeep, with me. So I'm really excited. As many of you guys know, I just did Trail to SEMA. So we were out in Johnson Valley with literally nobody. So it was crazy. And now when I go back, there's going to be 50,000 plus enthusiasts, fans, drivers, racers. This is our Burning Man for off-road racers.
Yeah, it is definitely the Burning Man for off-road. It's actually the whole event just blows my mind. We get 50,000-60,000 people at Crannon, right? But, it's actually a racetrack. It's a venue. Like this, to see it literally a city spring up out of nowhere, like I don't even know how to compare it to anything, I guess, other than Burning Man, and I've never been to Burning Man, but it's actually remarkable. Like you said, to go out there and not see anything, and then all of a sudden a couple weeks later, there's an entire city, and then 2 weeks later, it's completely gone and desolate.
Well, and not only is it a complete city, but you have all these other things. There's Wi-Fi, there's water, there's trucks coming through. There's just everything. And like you said, it's so crazy to be able to see something. Because even at Crandon or any of Indianapolis 500 or any of the big, venues that hold so many enthusiasts and fans, we all go home. We either go to a hotel, we go back to our house, we go to an Airbnb. No, everybody is camping in an RV. And sometimes, if they're really crazy, Jim, I've seen some tents out on the lake bed, but they're camping out there, and it's just crazy to be able to see, all of this come together. And then next week, in about 2 weeks from now, there's nothing there. Even all the workers are gone. Hammertown's gone. It's just really remarkable to see a town being built in so quick of a time.
Yeah. It makes you wonder how long till Boone Road gets paved. You know what I mean? Legitimately, you wonder, because sometimes it's I've heard people waiting an hour to get out on that road or in or out or something like that. I'm like, wonder if some point they're actually just going to pave that thing.
No, exactly. And I was telling some of my friends, Holly, she owns Mischief Maker. And when we went out there, she's like, I've never really been out here. I was like, Holly, this Boone Road is going to be the nicest and the most smooth that you'll ever have, because as soon as KOH comes, it's just rutted up, washboard up. And I'm like, and if you have a Jeep or an off-road vehicle that's not pulling a trailer, take the whoop section on the outside, because that is going to be the quickest that you can be able to get in and out of there. But you're right, I've heard people wait an hour, hour and a half, especially leaving too. Like if they leave Saturday morning after the race, you might as well have coffee, have breakfast, maybe even have lunch, and then head out.
That's like you talk to all the veterans and they pull out Sunday. They just let Saturday. Saturday is like the barbecue and good times day, and everybody kind of has fun, and they just pull out Sunday because it's not even worth the headache, you know?
No, exactly. And I'm smart this year because last year it was freezing. My propane, because of the wind, and I think I brought the snow with me from Michigan, but the wind blew my propane out 3 times. So I was like, never again. I got a house. It's pretty close there. But what I just realized, Jim, is when I Google Earth it, I can leave my house and take the back way through Hammers, so I don't even have to deal with that.
Nice. That is actually good to know. I need to do that to my house because I've got one in Landers, and I think there's some trails, you know what I mean, that I can run right out of the house all the way to Hammertown. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we can avoid Boone Road.
Yes, exactly. And you and I were talking about that, both having houses. So I'm excited because then we can kind of go back to gym, have a nice running shower. If it's cold, I have heat. If it's hot, I have air conditioning. You know, we can have a bonfire. Oh, and guess what? We'll have Wi-Fi with service.
Yeah, definitely should be a good time. So before we get to that, though, T-Stone, I know we're talking about Hammers, what we're going to be doing out there, but you were just up at Snowdrift Rally. Like, talk about complete opposite worlds. You were at a rally in the snow and ice, and then you're going to King of the Hammers in the rocks and just rugged terrain of California. But how was Snowdrift? It's been 2 or 3 years since I've been up there. It's kind of a fun event. I know, didn't they quit Bonfire Alley, though? They don't allow that anymore?
No, Bonfire Alley this year was insane. They got rid of the super special stage because of some things that were happening. So there was no more super special stage, but Bonfire Alley, I've never been up there. I'm from Michigan, so it was only about 4-hour drive for me, but I've never been there. But I'm not kidding you. When I had a chance to talk to all the drivers, like Peter Fitella, Barry McKenna, even Martin Brady, who's an amazing co-driver, we were just talking. They're like, Tiffany, you literally can feel the heat when you're driving down. And some of the people who, you know, this was their second year racing, they're like, last year, I had no idea what to expect. And they're like, literally, when you're driving down this stage, people are throwing gas on top of the fire. And they're like, you can actually feel the heat inside of the vehicles. It was just, it's really cool to think about.
Yeah, and that's one of those, if you guys are listeners and you're not familiar, we're talking Snowdrift Rally, part of the ARA calendar, happens up there. I don't want to say northern Michigan because that would be the UP. I would say the northern part of the southern peninsula, I guess the lower Michigan. But anyway, yeah. But it's insane. Go to YouTube and pull up videos of Bonfire Alley. Literally, it's this stage, and like people line it with bonfires. And, you know, this race sometimes run in sub-zero temps and things like that. But it's actually one of the craziest things you'll ever see in motorsport. Like, legitimately, it's wild. I don't know how to put it into perspective.
No, and that's exactly right. So last year, it was negative 30. And Michigan's so unpredictable, trust me. It could be 60 degrees one day and then negative 20 the next day and then 70 the following. But it was plus 30. It was like 35, 36 degrees. But then at night, it would get about 31, 32. And there was rain and slush and just, it was really, the terrain and you know, the gravel was just really, really crazy because usually when you have a lot of snow, there's more traction to it. But when you don't have any traction and you're just kind of sliding, it was crazy. Not too many things happened. Thankfully, everybody made it back safely after all 17 stages. But it's just crazy to think about, like you were saying, Bonfire Alley, the snow, and sub-zero temps. And people are just hanging out there with their cowbells, you know, listening to Wastegate.
Yeah, that was crazy. You had mentioned they canceled the Super Special. I know I've been to – I used to have a rad Super Special at this gravel pit, and people line the walls of this gravel pit. And literally, it's like negative 20 outside one year. I'm looking, and there's got to be, I mean, thousands and thousands of people there that all paid like 10 bucks a carload to get in. And I'm looking and I'm like, man, these are some hardcore race fans here. Like, literally, they're just like hooting and hollering and drinking outside and like in their lawn chairs. And I'm like, no, don't tell these people it's negative 20 outside because like you would have never known, you know?
Well, and they really don't care. And after a while, like, I dressed, you know, for the weather because I had to be out there to do some stage end interviews and stuff. But I had my long johns, I had pants, wool socks, my boots, this whole snowsuit. So as long as you're dressed and prepared for it, then, you know, it's a good time. So definitely be prepared. But this year, it was a little bit busier this year because, like I said, the weather was just so much better.
Yeah, no, it's been actually an interesting year in the Midwest. But and you know, I don't know. Here's a question for somebody born and bred in Detroit. Do you consider Michigan the Midwest?
Yes and no. Yes to like our values, different things like that. But to me, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota are kind of in their own realm because they're very much alike in what you do and the weather that's there and just the different things. So I guess I'm still the Midwest. I don't know. I spend a lot of time out here on the West Coast too. So it's I don't know. Do you think it's the Midwest? I don't know.
It's hard to say. I don't know. The whole Midwest thing kind of bothers me anyways because I'm like, it's not even the freaking West. Michigan's damn near the East Coast. Why are we considering anything? Why is anything West considered in Michigan? Like, I don't know. Like, to me, I would call it Central United States. Like, you know, I don't know. Just kind of weird how that, you know, how that all came to be. I don't know. But I don't know. I think Midwest, yeah, like kind of Iowa, Nebraska. I don't know.
It's Oklahoma. Weird. Yeah. Like, we're bordering Canada. How can we be in the mid? Like, we're not in the mid of the country when we're bordering another country. It's just funny to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Weird. So, yeah, no, but I guess we got to wrap up this segment because you and I are both headed out to Hammers. I know I'm headed out this afternoon. I think you are as well. So, I don't know, T-Stone, I think we need to wrap up this segment so we can get ourselves out to Hammertown and have a good time.
I will definitely see you on the lake bed then.
All right. Well, yeah, T-Stone and I are headed out to Hammertown. Thanks for calling in, T-Stone. And we are going to take a short break. We come back. It is Toby Price on the line here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by, you guessed it, Polaris Razor.
Are you looking for a place to push yourself behind the wheel and see how your driving skills stack up? Dirtfish Rally School is that place. Located on 315 acres of pristine automotive playground at the foot of the Cascade Mountains in Snoqualmie, Washington, right outside of Seattle, Dirtfish Rally School is a one-of-a-kind place where everyone from first-time drivers to seasoned professionals like Bucky Lassick and Antoine Lestage can push themselves to their limit. Whether driving the high-performance, rally-prepped, all-wheel drive Subaru Impreza STI is what you're looking for, or you'd rather hang it all out in the rear-wheel drive Subaru BRZs, Dirtfish Rally School has something for everyone. Classes are available from 2 hours to three full days and feature instructors with over 150 years of combined racing experience. Whether you're looking to become the best and get an edge on the competition, or just looking to freshen your skills behind the wheel, Dirtfish Rally School is the place to go. For more information on registering for classes, visit Dirtfish on the web at dirtfish.com, or to check out the latest happenings from Dirtfish, follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Dirtfish Rally.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Well, I'd like to welcome one of my guests to the show this week, my good buddy Toby Price, who I just saw here at the Parker 425. I guess, man, you what did you say? You had like literally one day in Australia, turn around from Dakar till you headed stateside. Man, you got to be you've been a crazy start to the year for you, buddy.
Yeah, for sure, mate. It's definitely been a crazy start to the year. Dakar went fairly well for us. We just had a rush down there, but we got out of there safe, all in one piece. And yeah, like halfway through the event, we got a phone call to see if I wanted to compete in the Parker 425 with Robert Johnson in the Chattanooga whiskey truck. So yeah, made a call on that. Basically, once I finished Dakar, I flew home the next day straight after the event, and was at home in Australia for, yeah, basically 24 hours, and switched my bags over, did some washing, and flew straight here to the States. So it was a wild old trip. Yeah, we're just kind of catching up a little bit now, but other than that, it's all going really well.
Yeah, sometimes do you kind of forget what your house looks like in Australia? Because I've got a feeling you're hardly ever there, man.
Well, I don't even remember. I've got a house in Australia. I keep forgetting I've even got one. So it's... yeah, it's a wild time. It definitely keeps us very busy and on the road, but I wouldn't want it any other way. You don't get these chances or opportunities all the time, so I try and grab it with both hands, hook in, and go full gas and have some fun with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll talk about the Dakar Rally in a minute because I do want to dive into that and some of the talk, but let's go back here a little ways. I mean, you've kind of, you know, it seems like at some point, you know, all the greats on two wheels, and I mean, we can go down the list of, you know, off-road racers here in North America, and then, you know, some of the legends of Dakar, and it seems like they always, at some point in their career, transition to four wheels, and you're one of the few that's kind of active on both two and four wheels, man, but, you know, how's that kind of been? I know you've started picking up some more work. We've seen you in the desert here, you know, stateside and in Baja quite a bit. I know you and Nasser had a pretty good run, you know, in Jesse Jones' truck there at the Baja 1000. I mean, how's this kind of I don't want to call it a transition because you're still very much on two wheels, man. But how's the kind of the four wheel thing been going? I mean, you guys are obviously wicked fast.
Yeah, look, that's it. It's definitely keeping me very busy and on my toes. And, yeah, like you say, I'm very active on both. But motorcycles is what's my normal job and keeps my bills paid and my lights on at home in Australia. And I've been very lucky enough to land on my two feet with some really good solid drives here in the States. And then having my own truck in Australia, I get to do some events back home, the Think Desert Race and stuff. So, like I'm very active in both areas. It definitely puts a lot on the plate. And but then, yeah, like at the end of the day, the two wheels is main priority. It takes reign over everything. So if there's an event that's four wheel racing wise, I if there's an event on two wheels, I have to do the two wheel side of things, which is fair enough. It's I don't want to I don't want to retire off two wheels anytime soon. I still think I've got another 5 to 8 years in racing on two wheels, but then again, I don't know if a drive came up on four wheels, it was just feeling like at the right time and could keep me going forward, then yeah, basically that time then might be to hang the helmet up on two wheels. But yeah, look, we had a good solid run at the Baja 1000 with NASA. It was kind of cool to have him over here in America and in Mexico for the event and for the race, and to finish a second there. That's pretty much really my best finish I've had, I guess, in a trophy truck. And otherwise, yeah, I've just had some small minor little parts and issues and things that are breaking. And but everyone has those at this stage. And once we kind of work it all out and get on top of it, hopefully, yeah, we can start winning some events and look to the future of hopefully going four wheels. And that might hopefully be a job that I can race four wheels full time.
Well, you know, I got to ask you about the Parker 425 because you're kind of humble in what you said. You said some mechanical problems. Dude, there's an in-car video of you, and you're driving the truck by hand, like literally working the throttle with your hand. Like, tell me the story behind that because, I mean, that takes another level of concentration to be able to do that because you're so used to your foot. I mean, I guess maybe the hand throttle, you know, used to a bike, but it's still like, dude, that's wild.
Yeah, that's it for sure. I don't know. There's just something embedded in me that I don't like giving up. I don't like quitting, and I don't like letting people down. So it's unfortunately, we were running in a good position. We were in third, trying to chase down Harley Lettner in second, and everything was going really well till the third lap, and we were getting ready to push and actually have a really good solid attack and a good go at the third lap, and literally just kind of come out of out of the pit lane there and got onto the first big main straight. A mechanical issue with the fly-by-wire to the throttle. One of the motors locked up and it wouldn't open the butterflies and actually, yeah, that just wouldn't give you any gas. So basically you're trying to put your foot through the pedal and the truck's just sitting there idling. So, yeah, we're sitting there just trying to think, how can we fix it? And we had no spare little motor to switch over for the fly-by-wire or anything, and then like I've seen probably in the previous few years, some guys have done that, basically just made a mechanical throttle, and so we took the shoelace out of the boot and wrapped it around the linkage in the throttle, disconnected all the fly-by-wire stuff, so it basically made it free, and put the shoelace string through the dash, and tried that, and basically, it had a return on on the butterflies, and once we knew it wasn't going to get stuck and jammed on us, and we thought we'll give it a go and go full gas. And the first 10-15 miles a little bit nerve-wracking, because you still have that bit of a feeling that maybe it might lock on, and you don't want a 900 horsepower trophy truck wedged and wide open full gas and trying to pull the thing up. So we were very ready for the main power switch and everything to switch stuff off, but it kind of worked fairly damn well. And like you say, I'm kind of used to being a throttle in the right hand, so it was not really too much out of place. But like I say, a couple of times when you needed the gas, I was trying to put my foot through the floor just to give her a bit of a hop, and that still wasn't working. You just had to try and remember it was all in the hand. So the last lap was pretty wild, but in saying that, I think I averaged like 65 miles an hour with the foot throttle on the second lap, and I only averaged 63, so I dropped, I think it was 2 miles an hour in speed. So I'm definitely not scared to have a go, mate. That's I love going flat out, and Robert Johnson gave us that chance and in the truck to come and race here, and I just felt like I just didn't want to let the guy down and not finish the race, and to still come across the line fifth with what we had go wrong, being basically down, and I think it was like 45 minutes trying to fix all that up. We're quite stoked. We're still passing trucks and everything. Like after we'd stopped, a few of them had passed us, 6100s and whatnot. So we're making some moves with a hand throttle, that was for sure.
That's insane. I got to think, though, you know, it's like, is some of that maybe come from Dakar? Because Dakar, you're out there in some of the most remote places in the entire world, and you're all by yourself, and something mechanical goes wrong on your bike or something like that. I mean, you've got to kind of use your ingenuity to get the thing going again, right? Or you're going to be out there for a while, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. You're going to be spending out there for probably anywhere from 5 to 9 hours. So it's going to be a little bit of a MacGyver and try and come up with some wild and crazy ideas just to get you across the finish line sometimes. And for sure, that's another area that I guess kind of helps me a little bit to do some crazy and silly things. But I'd nearly put that one at the top of the list. I've never thought I'd have full control of a 900 horsepower trophy truck in the right hand, and trying to steer a truck for a full lap of 140 miles with one hand and still carrying that type of speed. So I reckon I'll nearly be putting that one at the top of my list. I guess, and also with the broken wrist at Dakar last year. But it's just like I say, I just don't like giving up, and I don't like stopping, and I just want to make the finish lines of events. And as though we weren't going to race, I guess I was wanted to try and break the internet doing something wild and crazy, and I think the response from it's been pretty wild here. I'm still in the States, and every shop that I go to or something, that they recognize that I'm over here for the Parker race. They straight to the old hand throttle story, and I think it's pretty wild, and give you some knuckles, and set them pretty bad ass. So look, at the end of the day, I just love racing, having fun and enjoying it, and it's just been good times to come over here and race some cars and some trucks. So it's been good.
I laugh, and it's funny because anybody that knows you, and I've got to know you pretty well, and I think most of the off-road community here in the States, I mean, we all know you pretty well. I feel like we've adopted you as our own. You're Australian, you raced a car, and it's for Australia, but all of us kind of lay a claim to Toby Price. Is you're kind of half American, buddy.
Yeah, mate, I'm very, very blessed and pumped for that. It's I get the kind of like the what they call the honorary off-road status, I guess. It's been American citizen and off-road, and it's kind of cool. It's crazy to see the following that I do have here in America, even though I am Australian. But it's cool, the support here and things like that. But I just think people just love it there. We hope we can have a go at everything we can, and keep moving forward and trying to just chase everything that we can get our hands onto. So it's I'm very lucky to have that support here in America, and have great people that follow and keep up to date with what we're up to. So we just have to try and keep at it full gas and doing wild and crazy things and try and win some events, mate. We'll be stoked.
And we'll be back with more with Toby Price after this on the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing Anywhere is Possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
Do you race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. We've got Toby Price on the line. And Toby, well, you know, and let's go back and talk. We haven't even really talked about this year's Dakar Rally, but, you know, I think, you know, obviously you're a multi-time winner of the Dakar Rally. You know what it takes to win that event, but, you know, you're with one of the best teams in the world. You go into this event and you guys are expecting to win, but, you know, once again, it is Dakar and it is the hardest event, you know, in the world to win. I mean, you know, going into one of these things, it's, I mean, how, you know, I don't even know if I can put it into perspective. I've never raced it, you know, and I've raced in Baja plenty, but I mean, kind of draw some comparisons. How hard is it not only to win this event, Toby, but just to finish the Dakar Rally?
That's exactly how you explain it. It's a hard old challenge, and just to make the finish line, that in itself is a win to anybody, really. So to do that, that's the first thing you're trying to knock off the list and get sorted and just come home safe. And yeah, to be able to try and win it two times, but in a way, like, look, you've got to work hard for things. You've got to put a lot of time and effort into like the riding and bits and pieces like that to make it all go to plan. But then in saying that also, you really do have to have a lot of luck and a lot of things fall your way and go the right direction for you there. And trying to piece it all together and just make a good game plan and a strategy of racing. And sometimes you can have absolutely everything perfect and in the right direction, but basically, there could be a guy that's starting back in 25th that gets between a guy that you're battling with in the lead, and he's not even really in contention to try and win. But it can help you or it can hinder you with your overall result. So if he gets in between a guy that you're battling with, that just gives
the guy more room to try and catch you, or for you to catch them. So it's a lot of things have just got to fall in the right place and right direction for you. And to say I've got two trophies at home, I never thought I'd even have one of the things. It's just the mountain you've got to climb to try and win that race. It's just it seems unachievable. And when you do it, it seems like a dream, and it doesn't feel like it actually kind of happened. But it's just like basically riding from the East Coast to the West Coast and trying to do it all in 10 or 12 days. So it's a wild old ride, and it's definitely a challenge. I don't know, for some reason just keeps drawing us back, and it's self-inflicted pain and torture, really. So we enjoy it, we love it, and we're always trying to line up with that race and try and chase that number one plate.
Well, you know, and what I think is interesting about that rally too, especially for a guy like you that does it on a bike, I mean, you know, I don't want to say it's any easier for guys in four wheels, but it's easier. I mean, I'll just go out and say it. I mean, you know, they can at least at some point kind of sit back in their seat on a stretch and take a little bit of a deep breath. I mean, you on a bike, I mean, it's just a split second and your rally can be over. And at least I feel like the car and truck guys, they've got a little bit of a chance to catch their breath and collect their thoughts. I feel like on a bike, that's got to be so intense because you've got to be 100% on and, you know, and focused. And, you know, how hard is that over the stretch of 2 weeks to keep that focus? Because, you know, unlike the car and truck guys where they can literally, you know, kind of take a breath, you can't do that, Toby.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. It's not taking anything away from them guys that drive the cars, like Nasser and Carlos Sainz and all them guys. They travel at a really high rate of speed too. And it's like there's a lot of concentration in that. But, like you say, it's just there are sections there that they can kind of relax a lot more and just sit there and kind of enjoy the ride and still be wide open to the throttle. But like for us, we're there by ourselves. We're trying to navigate. We're trying to ride the bike at speeds of 90 to 120 mile an hour. I think that's roughly around your 100 to 160 kilometers an hour in Australian talk, basically. But we're trying to do everything, and like I say, we have to be the mechanic, we have to be the rider, we have to be the navigator, we have to be basically fit and fine tuned, ready for the race. And we don't have any outside assistance or help, so it all adds up. And just not to take anything away from them guys that drive the cars, it's just it's definitely a whole different world to be a motorcycle competitor in that race. And we have to do every bit of miles on the seat, and just to try and mentally prepare yourself for something like that. It really weighs you down. It's a race that's basically designed to try and break man and machine. And if you come out the other side of it all in one piece and with a trophy in your hand, that's an ultimate dream. But just to even finish that race in the last place, that's still a win at the end of the day too.
Yeah. How was it this year? Because this was, you know, you've raced in South America for quite a while now, and obviously it's different every single year, but you've kind of come to know what to expect. How was going to Saudi Arabia this year? I mean, that was a complete shift for everybody. I mean, it was almost even playing field for everybody. You know, how was that shift for not only you, but the team and just everybody in general? Because it's new country, you know, it's new terrain. Everything was new about this year's rally.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. It was a complete different rally for us, and no one knew what to expect. No one knew the area that we were going through. No one knew how the people operated there. And just everything was a completely different rally for us. So some of the areas we rode through actually felt like it was in South America, but then on top of that, it was, we just knew we were in a completely different race and a different country. But, the KDM team, we tried to do as much research as possible to be as prepared as we could be. But, like I say, you just got to have a lot of luck go your way with that race sometimes and try and just piece everything together and make it all work. But it was definitely a cool experience. At the end of the day, I'd raced in South America since my first one was 2015. It was cool to actually be in a different country for it, and it was kind of like a new style of race, I guess, and kind of got you excited to go somewhere new, somewhere different, and experience another country. So Yeah, we're there for the next 4 years now, so we kind of know roughly what we're in for, and basically we'll just go back to the drawing board and start getting ready for 2021. It never ends, and nothing slows down for us. It's just nonstop thinking about Dakar racing, and that's about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that being said, you know, what's the plans for this year? Obviously, you said getting ready for the 2021 Dakar Rally. I know, obviously, you got the Fink there in Australia. You said you own your own truck down there. I know I saw Stadium Super Trucks is coming down there with a handful of races as well. I'm sure we might see a stateside. I mean, I'm sure you've got a lot of opportunities popping up in front of you. What's 2020 look like for Toby Price?
Yeah, exactly all that, pretty much. We've got some things lined up, with basically doing the World Championship on two wheels. We're trying to line up the thing to do Sink Desert Race with two wheels as well as the four wheels program we got there. We'll do some Stadium Super Truck racing this year in Australia. Hopefully we can come back and do some more events in the trophy truck stuff here, either with Jesse Jones or Robert Johnson. The plan is to get back to the Baja 1000 at the end of the year in November. Would be cool to try and either win that race or get back on the podium there again after this year or after last year now. But we just try and fit in anything else we can kind of fit in along the way. So it's plenty of racing on board, and two and four wheels, and we just like to go out and have fun and enjoy going at high rates of speed. So we'll see and assess everything as it's going along. And I don't know, I seem to struggle to say no to a lot of things. It's just something gets offered, and I'm like, yep, done. We'll sort it out, and we'll go for it full gas. And I'd like to try and come over with Can-Am to do maybe the World Championship UTV races over here. So we'll wait and see what we can kind of piece together and just keep myself active and flying around the world doing some mad cool events.
Yeah, well, and you mentioned, the UTV there and the side-by-sides, and I got to say, here I am, a trophy truck guy, kind of racing full-time in side-by-sides now, but I know even at Dakar, a couple of years ago, it was kind of an afterthought. Like, that was just a category nobody paid much attention to. Now, I mean, we've got some marquee racers, in there, and it's really kind of coming to the forefront of Dakar where, manufacturers are getting involved, things like that. You mentioned, doing some side-by-side racing. I know you've got, you do some down in Australia. You're talking about coming here and doing the World Championship. I mean, for a guy like you, that's saying something. I mean, you're running, with one of the best programs in the entire world on two wheels. You got some amazing opportunities on four, and here you are talking about going side-by-side racing, man. How much fun are you having behind the wheel of one?
Yeah, look, honestly, it's for how much slack they copped, I'd say 3 or 4 years ago or 5 years ago. It's good, cheap, not cheap, affordable racing, but it's a lot more achievable than what you're trying to run a full-fledged trophy truck kind of thing with a team there. It just the budget pretty much goes 10 times as much as what you can put into a side-by-side. Like, it's as deep as your pocket can go to go and run a side-by-side, but in any way, any seat time helps. And that's like, if I can get my seat, my backside into one of those seats of a side-by-side, I do it. It's somewhere along the way, it's going to help refine driving in a trophy truck, or whether I go a bit of tarmac racing, or in the Stadium Super Truck stuff. So, it's a category fairly new to the Dakar event, but now you're starting to see like Cyril Dupre and everything racing in one this year, and it's crazy. Like I say, it's affordable, closer and affordable racing for the majority of the people are running around instead of trying to like a multi-million-dollar deal to try and go and run a full-size trophy truck or a Toyota or one of those minis in the Dakar race. So it's all really taking off massive, and like you say, everyone here in America now seems to have one. Like everywhere you turn around, it's if someone doesn't have one, it's either a mate that's got one that they go out and blast down to Glamis and have a bit of fun there. And I'm doing a side-by-side championship races at home with Can-Am and doing one or two rounds. I can't commit to a full season there just with the two-wheel program that I'm doing. But, I take my Can-Am out to the Sink Desert Race and do some pre-running there. And they're just a really, really fun toy to have. And it's any bit of racing I can get into, I go with it full gas.
Yeah, well, I got to ask one last question before we let you go, though. I know King of the Hammers coming up. You know, obviously there's UTVs there. They got King of the Motos coming back. I mean, has there ever been any itch to go and try your hand in the rocks?
I was really, really close to trying to pull the trigger on that and going there this weekend. But like I say, I haven't been home for about 4 weeks. So I got home for one day, for 24 hours. But I've got a lot of things to sort out back home and get on top of. And I was, like I say, I was like 99% close to changing my flight to fly home. So I head home on Saturday and get out of here. But yeah, other than that, I was nearly going to stay and just at least go and watch and check the event out to basically try and maybe, like, I'm either going to race or see if I could line something up, or just maybe they're planning for the future to come over and race it. But these things don't match up at the moment. Got to get my myself home and sort some things out and go from there. But it's definitely one that I've always wanted to come over and check out. It's just the Hammers is just, everyone talks about it. It's basically like a motorhome city that's out in the middle of nowhere, and it's really cool just to see that amount of people are just fully off-road racing and rock climbing and doing whatever. So it's cool to see how big the racing is here, and I love coming over and seeing everyone hook in and go full gas. So we'll hopefully get to that event eventually one year.
And you know what? We're going to bring Toby Price back for one more question when we come back from this break here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance, or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing anywhere as possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. We got Toby Price on the line, and one more question, Toby. Well, and like I said, one more question, got one more, but that kind of spurred me into saying one other thing. But I know, obviously, you and Red Bull have a very, very deep relationship, been a huge supporter of your career. Obviously, they've got a big footprint at the Dakar Rally. What's you got to be pretty excited about this new Red Bull Junior program they've got. I know we've got, you know, Seth Quintero, Mitch Guthrie, Blade Hildebrand kind of in that program. But you got to be kind of excited about, you know, them kind of investing in some of the young and up-and-coming athletes, you know, and giving them a pathway to Dakar, because, you know, you and I both know it's very expensive to compete there at a high level. And, you know, and just the logistics of being a part of that event's tough. I mean, you as an athlete and one of the premier Red Bull athletes, you got to be really excited about their investment into this kind of junior program they've got.
Yeah, for sure. Look, like it's unreal to see Red Bull jumping in on board with that and really trying to bring some younger drivers through and develop them up into professional drivers for the Dakar racing. And the sport definitely needs it. Like, I'm not saying that Stefan Peter-Hansel and Carlos Sainz and all them guys about to retire and hang their helmet up. Like, those guys have still got a few more years in them racing, but they are getting towards that age. It's just getting up there and out of the way. I definitely, I'd love to be a part of that junior program that's in that. But I'm still probably a little bit old for it as well. So it's cool to see Red Bull really investing into this and trying to bring some younger drivers up and be a part of this Dakar racing. So hopefully we'll see them guys back over there again next year and going full gas, because they had a lot of issues and things going wrong. Like I said, that program got put together fairly quickly, and still the car is very new and under development. And they had a lot of issues this year. And but like I say, it's always showed that they can actually run at the front. They were winning stages and shame they can actually do it. So it's amazing to see, and hopefully that.
Well, Toby, you know, I appreciate you taking the time, my friend. I know you're you know, kind of busy getting ready to hop a flight back to you back home, but I appreciate you taking the time to call on the show. Good seeing you out here at the 425, man. Always fun catching up with you.
Mate, no problem at all. Appreciate it, and thank you very much. We'll hopefully see you guys out here again soon.
Man, one of my favorite guests to always have on air, Mr. Toby Price. You know, one of the most accomplished guys ever on a dirt bike in the Dakar Rally. That's saying something, you know, and just an absolute Dakar legend. Now he's kind of slowly starting to transition to four wheels, but never disappoints, always entertaining, and always a ton of fun. So that just about wraps up this week, or not this week, this first hour. We got a whole lot more to come in hour number two, but we've got Dirtfish Rally Report, we got Colin Braun, we got a whole lot more coming at you right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Show. Powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest and hands-down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor, kicking off hour number two. And it is going to be a slam-packed hour number two. We got Power Rankings with Chris Leone. We got my good friend Colin Braun. You know him from the 24 Hours of Daytona, walking away with another Rolex watch and a big W there at Daytona. So going to be great to catch up with Colin Braun. It's been a couple of years since we've caught up. I think might have been Long Beach Grand Prix. No, it was one time since then, but Colin, he's a class act and he's fun to have on air. So thank you guys are going to enjoy that interview. Once again, man, you know, hit me up. It's at JimBeaver15 on the social media machine. I do like to live tweet and you know, keep tabs with you guys while I'm on air, and hit me up on Instagram. You know, so yeah, that's where we're at. DownAndDirtyShow.com. We got all the details on King of the Hammer. We'll be pumping out a ton of content in regards to that this weekend, and also recapping some of the you know, this past weekend's action. So make sure and hit that up, and check out Project Action this week over there on iTunes. Make sure and check that out. I've got this the director's cut or the producer's cut of that Toby Price interview you just heard. So if you think you missed something or you didn't like it chopped up, boom, we're airing it in its entirety on Project Action on Podcast One. Make sure and check it out. It's That show is fun, man. I just had Derek Thieler on there. You know, he's star of the new show 68 Whiskey on Paramount. Always got a mix of celebrities, athletes, action sports stars, musicians, entertainers. You never know where that show is going to go. Race car drivers. Having a ton of fun with it. So check that show out. Subscribe to it over there on iTunes as well as the Down and Dirty Show. And both shows now on Spotify. So if you're a big Spotify fan, I know a lot of listeners on Spotify were there as well. And we got some big news coming out in regards to this show next week because about a week from now, things are going to shift and you're still going to be able to hear us online, still on AFN, still on Sports Byline Network. But yeah, we're picking up another outlet that's going to be carrying the show, and it is massive. I'm telling you, it is huge, so you don't want to miss that. That's for sure. It's going to be a big one. That's right, big one. This one you guys have been asking about for about 8 years, and it is finally happening, and I couldn't be more thrilled about it. So just kicking off hour number two here. We got power rankings, we got Colin Braun, and a whole lot more. Once again, at JimBeaver15 on social media if you got questions for any of our guests or like to chime in on our power rankings. And we are going to take a short commercial break, and we'll get rolling with things in hour number two right here on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high-performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty radio show since 2012. Do you race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety.
Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my next guest, my good friend, and I guess somebody that's probably got a little pep in his step right now, Colin Braun, one of the winners there at the 24 Hours of Daytona. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jim. I really appreciate it, man.
Well, you know, it was one of those things that I laugh because Chris Leone, who works for me and stuff, was like, we got to get Colin on this week. I'm like, you know what? This was like Sunday. I was like, I probably shouldn't text him. I'm like, I'm going to give him a little bit of time to rest and get his bearings about him. Well, come to find out, you're already back doing driver training and stuff like that. There was no rest for the wicked, right?
Hey, that's it, man. There was definitely not. Fortunate enough to win the 24-hour race there on Sunday, and then drove over to Sebring to do a little coaching in some Porsche GT4s Tuesday through this upcoming Sunday. So, you know, quite a few days in Sebring, but, you know, when we love racing and being at the racetrack, it's hard to stay away.
Yeah. Well, and I want to talk about the Daytona win, but I kind of want to kind of go back here because, to me, this was kind of a little bit of a crazy offseason for you, and not in a bad way. It was just, I mean, you and Core Autosport have been together for years, and a lot of times when a driver leaves a team, it's because one reason or another. I mean, you guys had a phenomenal relationship. It was just kind of a business thing where Core's just like, you know, we're going to step away for a while, and, you know, but, you know, obviously you landed where you landed. It worked out great, but, you know, kind of take us through the off season because that had to have been kind of a weird move because it wasn't like you were not performing on the track or something like that. It was just – it was literally just kind of a shift in direction, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was, you know, Core's been a great place for me. I mean, I drove there for 8 years. We won championships and races and, you know, had a lot of fun together racing. And the team owner, John Bennett, who also co-drove with me, decided that he just wanted to take a year off, you know, take a little break from racing, kind of let it sort out and see what the future holds. And so he sort of announced that, you know, kind of with a race or so to go in the IMSA season at the end of 2019. And so that left me looking around for my next opportunity. And, you know, it's no secret, I think, in the IMSA paddock at the moment, you know, this off season, there was more teams sort of leaving the paddock than there were coming in. And so quite a lot of drivers flooded the market looking for their next opportunities, and you know, there wasn't the seats to give all those guys opportunities. So certainly it was a little bit challenging off season to try to find a place to you know, get an opportunity to go and drive. And I was fortunate enough to land a deal with Dragon Speed, which a lot of folks I think in the U.S. haven't heard of, but they've done a ton of racing in Europe and really experienced in these LMP2 cars. And so they were going to do a season of racing here in the U.S. and they needed a driver for the long races in those events. And so they said, hey, why don't you come and do it? We know you know the tracks well and, you know, all that stuff. And so kind of a perfect fit at the right time that got me, you know, back in the seat, which was great.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're kind of, I guess one of the anomalies, a lot of guys come from other kind of racing and they kind of shift gears, you know, kind of at the midpoint in their careers and move to sports car racing. I mean, you've kind of, you know, you did the NASCAR thing for a while. I know you even dabbled in Global Rallycross for a little bit. But, I mean, by and large, you've been kind of a career sports car racer. And I guess when something like this happens with Dragon Speed, I mean, you know, I would say it gives you kind of a leg up on the rest of the guys just because you've been around and you know how to develop the cars, you know, the tracks. I mean, you know the ins and outs of the series. It's not like, you know, you're rebooting your career, you know, at the midway point or something.
Absolutely. No, you make a great point. I mean, for me, I sort of launched my career sports car racing, went NASCAR racing, as you said, came back to sports car racing. And so, you know, for me, I was really fortunate, you know, when the whole economy downturn happened, 08, 09 timeframe, that I was able to, you know, go and find a way to continue being paid to drive race cars and go sports car racing. I was really fortunate to have that opportunity. And so I think for me, you know, it was great to land with Core kind of right off the bat and have a good long run there. But, you know, throughout that time, obviously, you know, was able to impress some people enough that, you know, they said, hey, this is a guy we should put in our car. And then, you know, sort of a storybook deal when you get a kind of a last minute gig like that and then convert it into winning, you know, arguably one of the biggest sports car races in the world. So that was pretty storybook.
Yeah. Well, now a multi-time winner, right? I mean, you've been a multi-time winner. I mean, do you ever look back and think, and I look at your career and I mean, it's nowhere near even, you know, anywhere close to being done, but do you look and go, man, you know, you've accomplished a lot. I mean, you know, to win multiple 24 hours of Daytona, man, I mean, there's not many people who can even say they won one.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's definitely been more sad times leaving Daytona than happy times. This year was my 16th race and my third, you know, win. And so, you know, there was three times I left super happy and there was 13 times I left super bummed out. And so I guess that's part of what keeps you coming back, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I gotta think too, you know, it's one of those, you hear a lot of IndyCar drivers who have actually won the Indy 500 talk about that and how you get the first one and then getting the follow-ups. I mean, it's just, it makes it so excruciating to go to Indianapolis Motor Speedway because you've tasted what it's like to win there. And I gotta think 24 hours of Daytona is probably very much the same way for you. You've tasted victory. So every time you go and you get anything less than a win, it's probably gotta be just a little bit bitter leaving, you know?
Oh, it is tough. You know, I've had a handful of podiums there, and that's even worse because you get close enough, you see the other guys getting the watches, you know, and you're just like, man, this is sucks. I want to win this race so darn bad. And so makes it special, I guess, is a good way to put it.
Yeah. What? How do you as a driver approach this? Because, I mean, you know, you've got races like, you know, say a Long Beach that's, you know, it's a full-on just a sprint race, you know? And, you know, not a lot of passing, not a lot of time for the race to come to you. And then, you know, you've got something like this where, you know what I mean? You know, it's a full team of drivers, you know, and you're driving these long stints through the night. You got to get out of the car. You at some point, you got to get back in the car. I mean, you know, how do you as a driver mentally, how do you approach this? Because it's so different. You know, than anything else on the calendar.
Man, let me tell you, this one was tough and a great question by you, but, you know, just a tough, tough, tough race with how short the pit stop length time is between pit stops. We're about 35 minutes on a tank of fuel, and then we have to pit for more fuel. And so with the number of pit stops we have to make in a 24-hour period, the opportunity to change drivers and all the different strategy options are just enormous. And so this year we decided to kind of have a really fluid strategy. And that meant that we always had to have a driver in the pits ready to go no matter what. So we could always kind of change strategy and make a different move. And so normally I get a lot of sleep in the race because we have a set schedule. We know, hey, this time is when I'm going to drive, then this time I'm going to drive. And, you know, that might flex for 15 or 20 minutes, but you kind of have a really good understanding. Where this year I got zero sleep because I just had to be up sort of on call the whole time, always ready to run to the pits and jump in the car and be ready to go. And so that made it really, really stressful and tough. And, you know, with the pace and the lack of yellows and all of the things that made this year, you know, set all the records in terms of number of laps completed in 24 hours and all those kind of things. I mean, it was just maximum flat out, you know, racing with really no brakes under yellow. I mean, it was just, you know, max tongue hanging out the whole time. So made it a pretty grueling race for a 24-hour race.
Yeah, well, you know, and I didn't really even think about that. You know, I've done a lot of endurance racing in off-road, and, you know, the way we do it is you know, I'll do a 6-7 hour stint in Baja or in, you know, Vegas to Reno, 6 hours, and I get out, I hand it over, and then I'm done for the day. It's like, you know, so you can really concentrate on, you know, you can put all your energy into that stint and then done. And, you know, and then you have that massive adrenaline dump. And I couldn't even imagine what you have to go through getting back in the car. You know, it's like you have that massive adrenaline dump and then it's like, all right, we're starting all over again. How do we do this? You know, like to me, that's just, it's crazy what, you know, just what you've got to go through mentally during a race like that.
It is tough. You know, you, like you say, you get out, you're like, that was a great stint. It went really well. And the team's like, okay, good news. Get a bowl of pasta and a piece of chicken and come back here in 45 minutes because we're pretty sure you might have to get back in. And so, you know, you've got like this, well, whew, I'm glad I'm done. I can take a small break, but I can't like really switch off and like close my eyes and take a little nap because I'm going to be in the car in 45 minutes. So I better just kind of stay wired up and on. And so that constant, you know, sort of ebb and flow of adrenaline is put some wear on you for that long time for sure.
And we will be back with more with Colin Braun. Trust me, we are just getting started with this interview, but we got to take a short commercial break and then more with Colin Braun here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. We're knee-deep midway through this interview with my good friend Colin Braun, 24 Hours of Daytona winner this past weekend. And, you know, what a huge accomplishment for my boy Colin Braun to win it multiple times this year with Dragon Speed. Well, I got to ask, you know, talking about Dragon Speed, I mean, you had mentioned before, you know, obviously, you know, sports car racing here in the States and what they've done in Europe. I know, you know, they've been doing some IndyCar racing. They've got, they're running an abbreviated schedule this year in the IndyCar series. You know, and with everything they've got going in Europe and all this other, I mean, is part of you kind of got the itch, like going, hey, there might be somewhere down the line, maybe an opportunity to do a little something different also?
Yeah, for sure. You know, that's, I think, something that, you know, we'll have to kind of wait and see what happens. But between their IndyCar program, between what they have going on in Europe, they've already announced that, you know, we're trying to get an entry to do Le Mans. And if we do get that entry, I'll be part of that lineup for Le Mans. So a lot of good things in the pipeline working with Dragon Speed. And, you know, I'm hopeful that some of that stuff pans out and we're able to, you know, to keep doing more and more together. And obviously winning in your first race with the team always helps sort of seal the deal. So I'm fingers crossed.
Yeah. Sure. And when you win the first race and it's not just a race, but it's a 24 Hours of Daytona. I mean, it's kind of about as big as it gets, that Le Mans, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it couldn't have gone better, for sure. Yeah. Couldn't have gone better.
Yeah. So, you know, all that being said, man, I mean, I'm just looking down, you know, just looking across things and, man, I don't know. It's, you know, I know I read a stat and, you know, 16 years old was the first time you got behind the wheel of one of these cars. And, you know, to me, that's just crazy. I mean, talk about the evolution of what you've seen in sports car racing, because not many people can have that many consecutive years and still be as young as you are, you know, behind the wheel of one of these things.
Well, yeah, it starts to make me feel old, man. I had to tell people this year that this was my 16th Daytona, and people were like, that's incredible. You look so young. And so luckily,
thinking you're 50 or something,
50,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Hoping that when I'm, you know, 50, I'll look like I'm 35 and it'll pay off. But yeah, it's crazy to look at the way that we can drive these cars now in these long endurance races. I mean, you know, you've got essentially no limitations on how hard you can drive the car, how much you can use the brakes, how aggressive you can be with the, you know, gearboxes and things like that. I mean, it's just absolutely as hard as you can drive the car for the entire length of the race. And there's no concern for saving the equipment. And, you know, when I was doing it 16 years ago, it wasn't like it was back in 1960 or something. Yeah. I mean, it was still, technology was pretty far advanced and cars were pretty far advanced, but even in that short 16 years, I mean, it's just gotten to the point where it's just, you know, such an incredible achievement from engineering and reliability and, you know, parts standpoint that they can produce cars that you guys can just go out and hammer on for 24 hours. It's just incredible to me.
Yeah. Well, and here's the question, you know, and obviously, you know, 24 Hours of Daytona has been kind of the big, you know, that kind of gets the lion's share of, you know, of basically the racing, you know, news cycle. But kind of the lead-in to that was something even bigger, and I think this is sports car racing fans across the world, you know, have been waiting for. But we've got finally kind of a window of convergence between Europe and the United States. I know, you know, IMSA and ACO kind of working together to have this new car that basically could race on both sides of the pond and be competitive. I mean, what's your take on this? Because especially for a team like Dragon Speed, I mean, this is huge because they've got a footprint, you know, on both continents.
Absolutely. No, I think this is fantastic news for sports car racing in the U.S. and in Europe. You know, I think the fans win. I think the drivers win. The teams win. The manufacturers win. I mean, you know, I think to have the one single set of rules the manufacturers can get behind and know they can take their car to Daytona and go race it. They can take it to Le Mans and go race it. You know, I just think that at this time in the cycle of sports car racing and where we're at in the world, you know, the spend of money has to be a good spend and a smart spend and check a lot of boxes for the manufacturers. And if they can go to the board and say, hey, we can race these cars in Daytona, we can race these cars in Le Mans, we can hit all these big races, and it's one single car that we can develop and get behind, I think it makes it an easy sell where it becomes much harder. You have to kind of pick where you want to spend the money if the rule sets are different for the U.S. and for Le Mans. And so I think this is just a huge win for all parties involved and is going to make the decision to go sports car racing a no-brainer for a lot of these manufacturers.
Yeah, well, and that being said, I mean, you know, talking about the manufacturers, do you think, you know, I mean, what's the buzz around, you know, around Daytona? I mean, do you think in the next couple of years we're going to see some manufacturers jump back in that maybe we haven't seen in sports car racing in a while? Just because, like you'd said, I mean, this is massive. You can build one car, you can race Daytona, you can race Le Mans. I mean, you know, it's been, you know, I'd have to really pick my brain and do a little bit of research because I don't know off the top of my head when the last time that was actually possible.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. It's such an opportunity, I think, right now. And, you know, I think the big thing that a lot of the manufacturers looked at when they decide to go GT racing is, hey, this is great. This makes sense. The cars look like what we're selling on the street. But the caveat is always we can't win the race overall. And all the manufacturers want to be vying for the overall race win. And so this checks the box of allowing those, you know, manufacturers to put some of their own styling into these prototype cars to be able to then go and win overall in Daytona, overall at Le Mans. And so I think that really, really checks a lot of the boxes for these manufacturers and, you know, puts it at a place where budget-wise, it makes sense to go and do. So I think you've got a lot of the old staple sports car manufacturers, you know, Porsches and you know, Toyotas and big teams like that, that naturally will evolve into probably doing programs like that. But at the same time, I think there's been a lot of new manufacturers to maybe the prototype ranks in recent years that look at jumping in because it just does make sense. And we've known on the U.S. side that a new set of regulations are coming in 2022. And so I think a lot of manufacturers kind of looked at what the next step is going to be in 2022. We'll decide if we're going to get in or not. And I think this just adds fuel to the fire and be able to really make a commitment to get behind it.
Yeah. So all that being said, I mean, we're talking 2022, but let's talk 2020. I mean, obviously you said Le Mans is a possibility this year, but, you know, what's up next for you? I know obviously you're doing a lot of, you know, a lot of driver coaching, things like that. When's the next time we're going to see behind the wheel? I mean, obviously we're going to see you in, you know, in the full IMSA series, but, you know, what else? I mean, where are you headed this year, Colin?
Yeah, so I'm going to be doing, again, a full season in the GT3 series in the U.S. that was called Pirelli World Challenge, now called the SRO Americas Series. I'm going to be doing that in a Mercedes GT3 car again, so that's going to be a bunch of fun. Obviously doing the stuff in IMSA, as you said, hopefully Le Mans. And then continuing on with, you know, a lot of my driver coaching stuff I do in a couple different series. But when you pair all those things together, we're talking, you know, 30-ish weekends a year at the racetrack. So pretty busy and loving every minute of it.
Yeah. Well, buddy, I appreciate you taking the time to call into the show. Always fun catching up, man. Congratulations on the victory there at Daytona. Super, super stoked for you. And good luck this year with, you know, you and the entire Dragon Speed team.
Hey, thanks a bunch. I appreciate it, Jim. And you have fun kicking some butt on the off-road scene.
Well, there you have it. A 24 Hours of Daytona winner, Colin Braun, multiple times. And it started out at 16 years old racing the 24 Hours of Daytona. I mean, most people, that's like a pinnacle of their career, right? You work up to being good enough to race in the 24 Hours of Daytona. Here with Colin Braun, boom, doing it at 16. I think Haley Deegan just did it, right? And she was 18. But 16 years old, that's crazy. It's crazy. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. You know, I'm kind of managing my good friend Mia Chapman. She's Red Bull's youngest four-wheel female athlete. You know, and I see what she's doing at such a young age. She's 17. It's just remarkable what these kids are able to accomplish now. And I say kids, Colin, you know, he's been doing it for 16 years old, or since he was 16, for like 16 years. He's in his young 30s now, right? You know, but it's just remarkable how motorsports has shifted. You know, people used to peak at 35, 40 years old, and not saying you still don't peak and you're just still not competitive. But what these kids bring talent-wise at such a young age, I mean, we're seeing it in off-road and in the UTV division. You're seeing it in Supercross and Motocross. You're seeing it in, you know, in NASCAR. I mean, look at these kids coming up at 18 years old at racing at such a high, high level. You know, it's just absolutely tremendous. You know, what these young kids and these young talented drivers are being able to accomplish now. And you know, I'd like to think that Colin kind of was a big part of that shift. Really, he truly was, you know, and, you know, always fun having him on. I mean, just a veteran of motorsports, been around the industry for a very long time. He gets it. He understands the ins and outs and, you know, just a world-class driver and, you know, great interview. So big thanks to Colin for calling into the show. And, you know, I'm sure we're going to talk more 24 Hours of Daytona because, in the next segment, we're shifting gears. We're going to be doing power rankings with Chris Leone. Obviously 24 Hours of Daytona, the biggest event of the year, or the biggest event of the weekend. We also though had WRC at Monte Carlo, one of their crown jewel events. We had Supercross Triple Crown event there at Glendale. We had, on the off-road scene, we had Best in the Desert Parker 425, Snowcross, X Games. You even had Snowdrift Rally up there in Michigan. So we got a lot to dissect in power rankings. And yeah, that power ranking segment, it's going to come up next here on the show. So I can't wait to hear what you guys think, and I can't wait to hear what Chris Leone thinks of the performances this past weekend. So we're going to take a short commercial break. We come back, power rankings here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15%. Discount.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, along with my media director, Chris Leone, who we're getting ready to do our power ranking segment. I know normally we stretch it into two segments, Chris. Today we are we're locked into one 14-ish minute segment because, man, we've had a big show. Toby Price, we've had Colin Braun, one of the 24 Hours of Daytona winners. So you and I, we're cutting it short in favor of the guest today, buddy. So I guess we should get rolling here. But I know you and I both talked about this is a massive weekend in racing. I mean, between X Games, Supercross, Snowcross, Best in the Desert, 24 Hours of Daytona. You know, I think we had some, you know, the Snowdrift Rally. I mean, it was massive.
Man, Jim, usually we've got like two or three events to talk about, and we end up shooting the breeze for 20-something minutes trying to stretch it out. Now we've got one of the biggest weekends, really, in action motorsports of the year. And we're trying to cram it all into about, like you said, 14 minutes. So, yeah, I mean, there's just not enough time to really cover everything. This is one of those weeks that we could probably do a 10 driver power ranking and have it work out. But it's always fun to cut it to five, you know, because, you know, I would imagine that our lists are probably going to be different. And although I guess it would really say something for the five drivers who made it, you know, if we had the exact same list.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that being said, Chris, because we are short on time, let's get rolling here. Who did you have at number five on your list this week?
Well, Jim, for number five, we are headed to Glendale. We are headed to State Farm Stadium, Monster Energy Supercross, the first Triple Crown round of the year. And I'm going in that 250 West class. I'm giving it to Austin Faulkner. Wasn't able to complete the sweep on the weekend, but you know, nonetheless, 113 is a pretty good weekend for Triple Crown. You know, manages to get those first place points, just edged out Dylan Ferrandis. And, you know, he really needed it after, you know, just not having the finish that he wanted the previous week. It put him right back in the thick of that championship battle. So a big weekend for Austin Faulkner. I've got him at number five.
Well, and for my number five, I am I guess kind of sticking on two wheels of sorts, but I'm definitely not going to Glendale. I am going not to Aspen, Colorado either. I am actually going to Deadwood, South Dakota. The Snowcross series was in action there, but I'm not even going to snowcross racing. I'm going to snow bike racing. Yes, snow bike racing, because we had absolutely first, I think a global first that I know about. We had her on the show a couple of weeks ago. Granted, she was competing against a field that, you know, some of the heaviest hitters weren't there, but in the national series for snow bike racing, Jackie Reese took a podium in the men's division. I think it's the first time that I know of that a female on a dirt bike has actually podiumed at the national level against the men. But I had to tip my cap to my homie Jackie Reese for winding up on the podium in snow bikes there at Deadwood.
Yeah, Jim, that's definitely an accomplishment. I mean, like we said, God, how many different places are we trying to synthesize into five names for each of us? You know, it's going to be impossible to hit all of the performances of the weekend. I mean, I know that I don't think I even have a rally name on there, which is great irony considering the work that both of us, you know, have really done in the sport of rally. But, you know, number four, I am headed out to, this is going to be an Arizona heavy power ranking list for me. I am going to Parker, and I am going to the Parker 425. I'm going to Kyle Jurgensen, who just seems to be dominating class 6100 every time he gets behind the wheel. Yet another victory. I think his winning streak dates back to about Silver State last May, something like that. It doesn't matter what truck he gets in. Kyle just seems to, you know, be on the top of the box every time the weekend ends. So I've got him at number four.
Well, no doubt, Jurgensen, this kid is a young gun. I'm so impressed with him, and I think sky's going to be the limit for him. You know, I didn't have him on my list. For number four, though, I'm actually going sports car racing, not the direction you would think. I'm actually going sports car racing in general, because not only is the 24 Hours of Daytona the second biggest sports car race, you know, in the world, you know, only second to Le Mans, and I think anybody will agree with that. But it was such a massive weekend. Not only was everybody focused on Daytona, it was a great race, a great event, some world-class athletes coming in and competing, but news broke that finally we're having a convergence between sports car racing in North America and sports car racing in Europe. Yes, we're having a convergence. So now manufacturers will actually be able to build one car and compete at both Le Mans and the 24 Hours of Daytona, or in the European circuit and, you know, in the American circuit, IMSA. It was a massive weekend. I mean, people have wanted this forever. I don't know. I can't even put it into perspective. And I know I chimed in with Colin Braun talking about it. But this, Chris, is just massive, massive news. And I know it's not necessarily a driver, but I have to put that news story on my list this week just because of the global magnitude of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really about time, isn't it, Jim? Like, you know, it's going to lead to some pretty interesting driver lineups, because I think one of the things that you see is a lot of drivers who run full-time over here in IMSA, you know, will just kind of moonlight with a team at Le Mans, just, you know, it's totally different, and vice versa. Some full-timers in the WEC come to the 24 hours of Daytona, you know, moonlight for a team and be able to take the victory. So it's really going to shake up the driver fields too, which is also going to be exciting and interesting. And I will get to one of those drivers later. But no, a very exciting time for sports car racing. And I admit that I've never been the biggest sports car guy, but you know, it's a very exciting time for the sport. And you know, even though there are always kind of a lot of changes, you know, in terms of which manufacturers are competing, what's going on there, you know, I think a unified formula moving forward is going to do great things for the sport. Number three for me, I am getting right back into the desert. Like I said, man, your home state is basically the home of my power rankings for this week, which is funny considering just how much was going on over the past week. But number three, Parker 425 again, Jason Voss, you know, taking another victory to start the season. And I know that he is fired up to try to get that number one plate back. You know, I know that the past maybe year or two hasn't exactly been what they've been used to in terms of success, but you know that Jason Voss is fired up to go win another Best in the Desert title. So I've got him at number three.
Yeah, you know, and the easiest way to put Jason Voss into perspective, and my number three is also Jason Voss, so we're at least aligned there, Chris, but he's that guy where he comes in, he's very quiet. He, you know, he's not, he may post once every 6 months to Instagram. Like, he's not a flashy guy. He's not a bragger. He's not a anything. He shows up, he wheels, he goes home. And he's one of those guys, and it's interesting because him and McCachran have teamed up at times, but he is very much like Rob McCachran. He shows up, he's professional. Anytime he's in the race, you know there's a chance he's going to win. You know, and obviously, like you said, he lost that number one plate. He's hungry to get it back. But, you know, dominating, an absolute dominating effort of the Parker 425, taking nothing away from what Harley Lettner, you know, was. He had a good run there. But Voss just, man, what more can I say? He's back on top. And I got to tell you, shots fired. Everybody is targeting Jason Voss for the rest of 2020, at least in Best in the Desert.
No doubt, Jim. I mean, 25-minute victory, that's, you know, it's just, it's so impressive. And I know that, you know, some stuff happened, obviously, with Lettner in the 70 truck, you know, to kind of prematurely end that battle a little bit, I guess. But, you know, again, still, like you said, shots fired from Jason Voss. My number two, well, you gave it to sports car racing as a whole, but I am going to go to the winners of the 24 Hours of Daytona. I'm going to go to Wayne Taylor Racing, doing it for the second year in a row. But not only that, you know, having a revised driver lineup, obviously Fernando Alonso not available this time around, you know, so they brought in Scott Dixon and Ryan Briscoe, two former IndyCar teammates, and, you know, they managed to have a stellar performance. But, you know, to me, the funniest thing about it, and we mentioned those drivers who, you know, are going to be, you know, able to run both Daytona and Le Mans probably for their, you know, for the same teams now. Kamui Kobayashi has really become one of the best endurance drivers in the world. And, you know, it was funny to see him just go out kind of for the final stint. And everybody here in the States is like, oh, well, why wouldn't you put Scott Dixon in the car? Scott Dixon's won this event. Scott Dixon, you know, and taking nothing away from Scott Dixon, who has, what, 5 IndyCar titles now, has won the Rolex 24. But, I mean, when you have a shoe like Kamui Kobayashi in your driver lineup, that is who you go with, you know, when you're trying to close it out. They had a fantastic event. I mean, ups and downs, just like any other 24-hour race. But, you know, four-driver team, Kobayashi, Dixon, Briscoe, Ranger van der Zand, you know, it, great weekend for those guys. And certainly a way to kick off the title chase and trying to dethrone Team Penske on a high note.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you kind of took the words right out of my mouth. My number two was Wayne Taylor Racing as well. You had mentioned, you know, kind of their results. I know that was their third victory in 4 years. So, you know, absolute dominance there at Daytona. That's, you know, super, super impressive for those guys. So, you know, I don't know. You, like I said, you kind of did the preview for me, Chris, but we're on the same page there with Wayne Taylor Racing. You know, outright wins at Daytona, one of the – I guess it's not considered a crown jewel, but I would definitely consider it a crown jewel, at least of North American motorsports. Probably one of the most, I think it was one of the most 10 influential races in the world on a poll. But anyways, 24-hour Daytona, 3 out of the last 4 years, Wayne Taylor Racing. Yep, they're on my list.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, like you said, it's such a prestigious race. I mean, you know, it's got to be one of the hardest to win in motorsports. And you know, that track, Daytona, it's just, there's so much history there. There's so much prestige. But, you know, it really takes a special weekend to dethrone a performance like that and an event like that on my list for number one. And I would imagine that we're probably going to share a number one here. I think you're finally going to Glendale, Jim. Is that right?
Yeah, I am finally going to Glendale because something magical happened there. We just didn't have a race winner. We had a guy who swept the Triple Crown. First time it's happened in Monster Energy Supercross. Ken Roczen going 3-for-3. You know, those Triple Crowns, it's basically three main events, kind of using the Monster Energy Cup format. I think Monster Energy Cup, that's only happened maybe twice at the Monster Energy Cup. Correct me if I'm wrong, Chris. I know once, maybe twice. But anyways, it's never happened in any of the Triple Crown events. But Ken Roczen, he's back. You know, we talked about it. When's Ken going to be back? I think he is officially 100% back. This is a Ken Roczen we know. This is a Ken Roczen we love to watch ride. 3-for-3. What a statement of Glendale, Chris.
Yeah, Jim. And I mean, you know, it's crazy to me. You think about just how dominant Ken Roczen has been in his career, certainly in the headlines, if not always on the track. I mean, it's, to me, it's still amazing that Ken Roczen and Eli Tomac don't have Supercross titles to their name, you know, and that's really kind of a testament to some of the riders who they've had to face off with during their careers. But, you know, Supercross, it's just the past couple of years you've had champions that maybe weren't necessarily the guys you expected. You had Jason Anderson get one, you had Cooper Webb get one, you know, and these guys, Roczen and Tomac, I mean, you know, Tomac had the season a few years ago where he had like 9 wins and 17 starts, but he still just couldn't catch Jason Anderson. Consistency is the name of the game. And, you know, then you look at Roczen and everything that he has done to come back from injury. Now he's got an 8-point lead, you know, four events into the championship, which not bad. You know, it's, you're never going to have like a half a race advantage four events into, you know, a Supercross championship. It's just not the way the point system works. But I mean, what can you say about Ken Roczen? What Ken Roczen has done so far? It's, at this point, he is the trendy championship pick. I mean, it's going to take a lot from Eli Tomac to dethrone him, or even Justin Barcia, who has done a good job of hanging around, you know, towards the front since that A1 victory. You know, but this really does seem to have the workings of a magical year for Ken Roczen. And, you know, I'm sure it'll be one of the most popular championships in recent memory if he manages to lock it down.
Yeah, you know, and I think he's well on his way to doing that, Chris. But we got to take a short commercial break, and I'll be back here to wrap things up on the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
And we are back here on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor, to close things out on a blockbuster episode. Toby Price, Colin Braun, Power Rankings, T-Stone to start things off. Man, we crammed a ton. This is definitely an all-killer, no-filler episode right here on the show. I am headed out to King of the Hammers, Hammertown, so expect a lot of content out of there. We'll be recording a live show with Polaris Razor. Obviously, cell service is shoddy, so we can't actually be live on the internet, but we're recording out there. We'll drop it after the event, so look forward to that. And I got to tell you guys, you know, very thankful to be here. Another, what are we, 8.5 years in now and continuing to crank. So thank you guys. Couldn't do it without you listeners. Thanks to all our listeners at AFN and the military, Sports Byline, who tune in across the nation. All of our online listeners, make sure and hit that subscribe button over there on Apple Podcasts. Check us out on Spotify as well. And all of our amazing partners here, obviously General Tire, Polaris Razor. We got our good friends at Vision Wheel, Gibson Exhaust, Dirtfish Rally School, Rigid Industries back on board this year. We got our good friends at GSP XTV Axles, iRacing, our good friends there at, man, we got so many amazing partners, RacingJunk.com, and a whole lot more. So thank you guys for the continued support. Give me a follow at JimBeaver15. Check out my shenanigans that are going to happen out at King of the Hammers this week. And, you know, I love hearing, you know, it's a brand new year. It's a fresh year. You know, Toby Price, one of those long requested guests. So, we brought him to you guys. So hit us up with your guest suggestions. Love to hear from you on social media. But I got to sign off and head to Hammers. We'll see you next week here on the show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.